lifetime and what's ahead. But the day is coming, the day is near, the day is coming.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining me now in the studio is Julie Levine, who teaches at the USC School of Social Work, and she has been involved with the Occupy LA movement since its beginning. She serves on the Facilitation, Action, and Civil Engagement Committees for Occupy LA and is working with Occupy LA activists to create a people's tribunal to share the stories of those arrested at Occupy LA in order to build a public awareness of the raid and the alleged mistreatment and brutality by police and sheriffs, as well as the larger policy issues of the 99% relationship to the corporate state. Thank you for joining us, Julie Levine.
Thank you, Ian, for having me on the show.
So tell me about this alleged mistreatment and brutality by the police and sheriffs.
Right. I have to say I'm really shocked and very upset. I myself personally am traumatized, and I wasn't even arrested. Basically, what we saw was a staged media blackout at 2 a.m. when the corporate media that had been selected to cover the raid went off the air. The true violence began. Those assembled in the circle, and I know because I was in the circle the night before all night and became quite ill, had all been trained in nonviolent civil disobedience. They were chanting, "We are peaceful, we are peaceful." Meanwhile, the LAPD and the sheriff, many of them in LAPD uniforms, descended from the steps, as you know, on the occupiers that were exercising their First Amendment rights. They were arrested. Some of them were beaten. Some of them had their face and knees shoved into the concrete ground. They were tied with these plastic handcuffs very, very tightly around their wrists, so tightly that one woman blacked out. All of them that have since been released and have come to our General Assembly meetings, which are held nightly at 7:30, are shaken, are traumatized. They have welts. They have bruises. They were brutalized, and they were tortured. At least one busload of women, of at least 40 women, were detained on the bus, which was operated by the county sheriff's office, for 8 hours, during which time they were not allowed to drink, eat, but worse, they were not allowed to urinate. They were told they could urinate on the seat. Another busload of men who were detained had the same treatment and also were forced to pee in their seat. Meanwhile, the sheriffs went to Starbucks and took a coffee break. They were placed in three different jails, Metro Van Nuys and I believe Twin Towers. 300 people as of last night were arrested, and the arrests continue. There were at least two arrests yesterday, one of a man who was simply with a sign on the steps of City Hall. Evidently, they imposed some kind of a 12 o'clock curfew in what the mayor had declared was a First Amendment steps, where we could exercise our First Amendment rights, and he was arrested last night for holding a sign on those very steps. Yesterday during the day, we had another arrest of someone who was riding his bicycle on the street. He was told to go on the sidewalk, knowing that you are not supposed to ride your bicycle on the sidewalk. He did not. He was also arrested, and my understanding is that he was beaten. We are hearing more and more stories of those that are detained that are coming out of jail. Some of them have been beaten. Others have been kept in solitary confinement. The worst treatment has been at the hands of the county sheriff's office. And meanwhile, on Channel 4 this morning, I hear Colin Nolan reporting. He has Chief Beck, LAPD Chief Beck, on the air saying that this is an example, a national example of peaceful handling of dispersing and, quote, illegal assembly. And he has as well Mitchell Englander, city council member, on the air talking about the huge cost of the occupation. What about the cost of those 1,400 to 1,700 officers in riot gear that descended on peaceful, and I mean peaceful, protesters exercising their First Amendment rights? What about those who were shot with beanbags, who have huge welts and are in splints, etc.? They are coming in one by one, 20 by 20, and their stories are shocking and need to come out. And I thank you. I thank you for giving us this opportunity.
So, Julie Levine, how do you prove these allegations? I mean, one, that the sheriffs were wearing LAPD uniforms, and two, this treatment. If you're going to organize, or you are organizing, this people's forum as a tribunal to share these stories, is that the vehicle by which this information will come out? And I imagine you are hoping to get some press coverage of this, right?
Well, I have to say the National Tribunal is an idea that came to us from Steve Rohde of the ACLU. It hasn't yet been consensed upon by the General Assembly. We're working, we're planning it now, and we're going to present it as a proposal. We're a participatory democracy movement, so nothing moves forward without that consensus. That having been said, those who have been detained are telling their stories. Corporate media came by last night to our General Assembly and listened to some stories. Let's see if they cover them. We hope that they will. We are getting signed statements, written statements from all of those who are detained. We will make sure that this story is told, and the National Lawyers Guild and other attorneys are doing an excellent job of representing us. We will make sure this story comes out. But meanwhile, we just want those of you listening to the show today to spread the word, please, to let people know that what is being told is a lie. This is not what occurred. This is not what took place. This was not peaceful. This is a police state. Every night, we're in what we call Occupation 2.0 right now, okay? We no longer have, tents, but those of us have multiplied. We have moved our General Assemblies from like 50 to 80 people sometimes a night. Now we have 200, 400 people a night. The word is getting out on the streets, and I believe the 99% is starting to realize that, you know, we are quickly moving into a police state. This National Defense Authorization Act, co-sponsored by Senator Levin and Senator McCain, if this is passed, we hope that the president will veto it. If so, it'll go back to the House of Representatives. But this act will put 20,000 military on the streets specifically to squash peaceful protesters and allow indefinite detention. We really need to, all of us need to stand up now. All of us have to speak out against this, because this is a lie. We are living, when you come to City Hall, because we are still allowed to be there on the West Steps and exercise our rights, but you'll notice that as you come for our 7:30 meeting, where you can find out and be plugged into all the actions that we're involved in, you'll notice that there are police everywhere and there are helicopters lingering overhead. There's a feeling of intimidation in the air. I have never experienced anything like this in my entire life, and I just urge people in Los Angeles of conscience to join us and see what is going on and the new movement that we are at the dawn of creating.
Now, I'm sure our audience have seen the pepper spraying incident at UC Davis and the general kind of militarization of the police that has taken place since 2011, since 9/11, and Homeland Security, of course, is a huge government agency without a specific mission. They don't really know what they're doing, but they are spending a ton of money, which they give federal money to police forces to buy equipment. And I think that is probably a part of this militarization that you're talking about. But in terms of the movement itself, since you're one of the people that have been there from the beginning, and I've been down there and I've talked to a bunch of people who've been down there, and you mentioned your idea or what you're working on as a tribunal has to go before the General Assembly. Give us a sense, though, of how the occupation has operated, because some of the people involved that I've interviewed said that it was very difficult to maintain the idealism and integrity of the camp, because all the street people, the junkies and the hustlers were coming in and stealing your food and stuff like that. Where does that stand?
Yes. I'm really glad you asked that question, Ian, because I have very good news in that regard. Since the raid occurred, and actually we're very thankful to Mayor Villaraigosa, because by, conducting the raid in the way that he did and really lying in the way that he did, he has mobilized our movement. The gang members, the Crips and the Bloods and whatnot that were there, the number of those that were involved in the encampment that were not contributing in a positive manner, they've left. They've left. Now that there's no longer food available, the tents are not available, they have left our movement. Last night, we consensed on three proposals. Two of them had to do with responding to this National Defense Authorization Act. We actually have a rally that's starting at City Hall today at 12 noon. We will have a port action in solidarity with cities all over the state on December 12th to close down the ports in solidarity with the longshoremen and the truckers. We are planning for a general strike on May 1st. We have many, 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 many actions. We're in action mode now. We also consensed on a protest of Sheriff Baca because of the way the county has been involved in all of this. So we are really in a very good position right now. Those who remain are those who are committed to action. And this entire experience and the police response has radicalized us, has made us fully aware that the system at its very core is corrupted and that the politicians in no way are going to be able to take on that system. And their intention does not seem to be to do that. So you know, we do have some larger demands that we're moving forward. First, we would like to demand the immediate release of all the occupiers, not only in L.A., but nationally. We would like to see bail eliminated, $5,000 and $10,000 bail for loitering or failure to disperse. It's unconscionable and unheard of, and we want the charges dropped. Furthermore, we want the recall of all the public officials who have been part in squashing the Occupy movement locally and nationally. We want people to know this is not, you know, the fact that, you know, now there are middle class, because we've been reading the reports on the media. It's not about the fact that now there's middle class people that are being arrested and so suddenly we're outraged. This is about the fact that nobody deserves this kind of treatment. This is about human rights for everyone. This really helps set clear the fact that why is it that peaceful protesters are now the subject of this kind of recrimination when Wall Street is free and clear? Do I have time? I would like to read a statement by somebody who was detained, who has allowed me to share this statement on the air.
Is this the letter that this person wrote to the LA Times?
That's correct.
Has the LA Times published it?
No, not to my knowledge.
Well, go ahead.
Thank you. This is by Patrick Meegan. He's an Occupy LA detainee, and he said that this statement could be shared. I'm speaking as a person who was arrested Wednesday morning at City Hall for the crime of peacefully, respectfully protesting the wholesale fraud perpetuated by our nation's financial sector. I just want to say, I'm not mad that an LAPD officer slammed me face first into the pavement. I'm not mad that my personal property was forcibly stolen, destroyed, and disposed of by the LAPD. I'm not mad that my arms were painfully zip-cuffed behind my back for 7 consecutive hours. I'm not mad that the LAPD zip-cuffs cut off circulation at my wrists, causing nerve damage to my right hand. I'm not mad that the LAPD spent the entire day refusing to accept all bail postings for nonviolent Occupy LA protesters like myself, while at the same time dutifully bonding and releasing countless violent arrestees back into LA streets. I'm not mad that the LAPD denied me access to a lawyer for the entire duration of my jail stay. What I am mad about is that none of the above has done to even one of the Wall Street criminals who committed the most egregious act of larceny in American history, trashing the lives and futures of millions of Angelenos and hundreds of millions of American citizens.
Now, Julie, I spoke recently with George Lakoff, who's in many ways provided some, I think, interesting ideas for progressives in terms of how they frame arguments and, you know, taking the position that the conservatives in this country are much better at framing arguments. But he did concede that the 99% versus the 1% is a very powerful and well-framed message. But he also said that he believes that this message, this movement, is much, much bigger than those in the tents, that it's become, it has moved into the consciousness of the country and into the very middle class that you were just talking about. So how do you keep that movement building, not alienate the middle class? Because if they're being told that you guys are wasting taxpayers' money, that's not helpful for building the movement. So explain to me the future strategy here.
Right. I appreciate that. Well, I believe that the 99% is definitely getting the message. I think it's very clear in a way that it was not clear before this occupation to most people, whether they call themselves Republicans, Democrats, liberals, whatever, that corporations are in fact in control of this government, of this system, and of the 1% media. We're so thankful that we have KPFK here in Los Angeles. They understand that their wages are going down, that they are losing their benefits. They understand that these mortgage foreclosures, many of them illegal, are by 1% banks who do not have their best interests. And they understand that right now, because corporations have more money than our government, and because they can give as much as they want to campaigns and to elected officials, that we do not have elected officials in power that can make a difference. The system is corrupt to the bone. And I think people are starting to understand and wake up to that fact. And so we really need them to join us in not only, you know, in speaking out with their elected officials, but also in just joining the movement in all of these areas around public funding of education and healthcare, ending corporate wars that, you know, trillions of dollars are going into these wars that could be going into supporting the people. And also right now, it's extremely important that people understand that we're moving full on into a police state. We cannot allow this National Defense Authorization Act to pass. So that's one of the main things that we're working on as an Occupy movement here in LA and nationally. And to understand that really the fate of all the world's people are the same right now, because just as yesterday we marched with the bus riders movement and other groups around climate change, to understand that these corporations, these 1% corporations, are really destroying the environment and our world, and that all of us really need to unite to take this on. And I think people are starting to get that message.
So just in the last minute, Julie, how will this new energy and activism that I think, in spite of your concerns about the corporate media, nevertheless, I think the polls indicate that the country has enormous support, much, much more support for the 99% Occupy movement than for the Tea Party, for example. How do you translate this this goodwill and this messaging that is clearly getting through to the American people? How does it translate into electoral politics? Because we have an election year coming up.
Right. Well, you know, so far as a movement, we have chosen not to engage in electoral politics, partly because we're not a reform movement. We're a peaceful movement, but we're a peaceful movement that understands that this system is really corrupted. We have to take the money out of politics. So we're concerned with the issues of taking money out of politics, public financing of campaigns, responsible banking ordinance. We want to see a national referendum around ending corporate personhood. Really, we need to understand that unless we have participatory democracy of the type that we are modeling in the Occupy movement, we will continue to be held hostage by that 1% corporate force that's really destroying all of our lives.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here in the studio, Julie Levine.
Thank you, Ian. It's a pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Julie Levine, who teaches at the USC School of Social Work and has been involved with the Occupy LA movement since its beginning. She serves on the Facilitation, Action, and Civil Engagement Committees for Occupy LA and is working with Occupy LA activists to create a people's tribunal to share the stories of those arrested at Occupy LA in order to build a public awareness of the raid and the alleged mistreatment and brutality by police and sheriffs, as well as the larger policy issues of the 99%'s relationship to the corporate state. We're going to take a brief station break now, and we'll be back talking about what really happened in that clash on the border of Afghanistan and Pakistan recently that killed 24 Pakistani soldiers.